The world is filled with small, incredible creatures under the umbrella of arthropods. They are known to come in a large array of colors, shapes, and sizes, with incredible abilities that outweigh much of what our planet's larger animals can achieve. In many ways, this is their world, and we are simply too large to acknowledge it. With some studies suggesting that there are more than 200 insects for each human on Earth, and 75% of all animal life on this planet falls into the arthropod class, emphasizing just how much sway they have on the world. This is not new information, as it is widely considered imperative that we look after the bee population, as if they were to ever disappear, all life would cease to exist. Even with this important standing, they are still considered something to fear, evoking feelings of disgust and annoyance as we give them menacing nicknames like creepy crawlies. The things that they can do and the way in which they look whilst doing them are so alien to what we see in our everyday lives that it is understandable that we find something so unrecognizable as something to fear. These little monsters tend to live in their own world, barely crossing over into ours, except on the occasions where we cross paths. But what if, instead of a chance encounter, these critters had invaded your space? What if they had decided to make you their home? My name is Luke Mordew, and this urban legend is the Spider Bite. There are numerous classes of arthropods in the world. First is the most well-known of the lot, the insects. These are the largest group of arthropods and are understood to be the most diverse group of animal in the world. There are also the crustaceans that are usually found in waters and the chelopoda, which are a wide demographic of centipede. On top of this, though, are so many more branches of arthropods with numerous requirements and characteristics in each of them. All sorts of arthropods evoke unfounded negative reactions in people, no matter what wonders they possess. However, there is one category that stands above all else in terms of the horrors they manifest, and that is the arachnids. Arachnophobia is an extremely common condition to have, and one that spreads all around the world. This is by no means a completely unfounded fear, as there are several spiders out there that can cause severe, even deadly reactions within a victim. Although this concern seems to have made its way across all species of spider, no matter the danger they pose. All around the world, they are lumped with the same fear, no matter how harmless they may actually be. Much of what people fear of arachnids are what we do not understand about them. The average person cannot tell what is venomous and what is not. Many would not know the difference between a spider that is local or one that had, say, stowed away in a bundle of bananas. With this constant state of anxiety that comes with a spider's arrival, it is no wonder that so many tales involving these creepy crawlies have spun their webs around society, embedding the folklore into facts. In my telling of the spider bite, we will follow Rhea, who is enjoying her time in South America, far away from home. Rhea woke up to a sharp pain in the side of her face, just between her jaw and her cheekbone. She sat up, resting her hand on it while stretching out her mouth.
"You all right?"
her friend Jenny asked, now sitting up on the sunbed beside her. Rhea had seemingly fallen asleep while sunbathing on the Brazilian beach she was lounging on. The flight home was that evening, but the hotel let them keep their bags out back so that they can enjoy the beach for a few more hours before going. She told Jenny about the pain, but had dismissed it as a trapped nerve or something, before moving the conversation on to the fact that she had fallen asleep. They laughed about it, jokingly suggesting that if they both fell asleep, they'd have to stay a little while longer. They had been here 12 days now, and had done little else bar sunbathing all day and drinking all night. Her dad had already mocked her for this before she left, telling her she should go and experience a little culture. The truth was, though, that Rhea just didn't care about that kind of stuff. What she wanted was a beautiful beach, a fun atmosphere, hot sun, and a glowing tan. All things that she had experienced these past couple of weeks. A few hours later, the girls were fast asleep, although now they were safely on the aeroplane back to England. When they landed, her dad would be there to pick them up. As far as they were concerned, now they had got themselves and their suitcases to the airport, their job was over, and from now on, all they had to do was be taken places. This was a lucky circumstance to be in, as throughout the day, Rhea had begun to feel more and more uncomfortable. When she first got on the plane, she was shivering. However, now that they were asleep in their seats, she was drenched in sweat. It had gotten so bad that a steward had gently woken her up, handing her a towel to dry herself with and a glass of water for her to drink. She thanked him and got to her feet, making her way to the bathroom. The moment she got inside, she had begun to vomit. She didn't know if she had food poisoning or an infection, but whatever it was, it felt like hell. Once she no longer had anything to bring up, she sat down on the toilet and wiped her forehead, now questioning whether this was just 2 weeks' worth of hangovers hitting her at once. She reached out to the tap and poured some water into her cupped hand before flinging it into her mouth. She sloshed it around and spat it back out, looking at the small mirror in front of her to see just how much of a state she was really in. Her eyes were red, and her face about as pale as it was the day she left. Her hair was also greasy and wet, sticking to her dewy skin. But none of this was as bad as the large red spot that had now appeared between her jaw and her cheekbone, even swelling under her eye as if she had been punched. She gently pressed against it, but even the slightest of touches felt as though somebody had planted little pins inside of her skin, causing sharp, stinging pains to shoot through her face. When she got back to her seat, Jenny was now awake, watching Rhea with concern. "Did you throw up?" she asked. Rhea didn't reply with words, instead giving a half-hearted nod. "Look," Rhea said in a defeated fashion, turning her head so that Jenny could see the swollen red spot on her face. Jenny was so shocked by this that she couldn't help but let out a slight anxious laugh. "Jesus, people are gonna think you got face filler down a back alley in Brazil." Rhea hit her on the arm, telling her to shut up in annoyance, but even she let out a slight laugh as she did. Although, this once again caused her to wince in pain. When they got to England, Rhea slept in the back of her dad's car, whilst Jenny updated him on what they had been up to, missing out on the parts that she knew Rhea wouldn't want her dad to know. He had asked about her face, but nobody could quite figure out what it was that was causing it. Her dad had given it a good think on the way back to Milton Keynes, and had come to the conclusion that she must have been having an allergic reaction to some kind of bug bite. For the next couple of days, Rhea stayed in bed, partly due to jet lag and partly due to the infection her body was fighting. Her dad had given her ointments and medication which helped alleviate some of the discomfort, but seemed to do little else. There was no need to take her to a doctor at this stage, but they had called up to get an educated opinion on what to do. The doctor agreed that it did sound like a bite, and that they should keep an eye on it over the next few days. However, it should get better soon by itself. Luckily for Rhea, this seemed to be the case, and by day four, she was feeling a little better. Her face was still swollen, and the red spot had, if anything, only gotten redder, but it wasn't as painful as it once was. She would never leave the house like this, and so she had spent her week at home watching her favourite TV shows while sulking. She desperately wanted to go out and show off her new tan, especially as the colour in her face had mostly come back. She had even mentally prepared what outfit she would wear when she next hit the town. But there was no way on earth that she would be going out like this. That being said, she was now going a bit stir-crazy in this self-inflicted house arrest, and so she had decided that she could, at the very least, drive over to Jenny's for an evening of pizza and a movie. She kept her jogging bottoms on and slipped a loose jumper over her head, already comfy for an evening doing nothing with her mate. Even by stepping out onto the street outside of her house, she was already feeling more alive again, creating a greater relief in her than she had expected. She connected her phone to her car, texted Jenny to say she was on her way, and clicked on her favorite playlist. Jenny replied with, "Okay, Chipmunk," a nickname that she had christened Rhea with since her swelling. She laughed under her breath and shook her head, already feeling more normal again. Although this smile had seemingly disturbed something in her face, causing it to throb. She hissed in pain as she leaned forward, studying it in the rearview mirror. It felt as though her skull was trying to escape out of her face. She wouldn't let this stop her night though. She was in a good mood and she refused to let a spot deter her. And so she popped a couple of ibuprofen and began her drive. It shouldn't have taken long to get to Jenny's, as she only lived about 15 minutes away, in a small village just outside of the city. But the traffic had been ridiculous this evening, resulting in her only just leaving the area 20 minutes later. Although now, as she drove down the small country roads, it was much faster. There was hardly anyone ever driving this way. It was a slightly longer way to Jenny's, but with the constant traffic issues, especially at this hour, it usually worked out faster anyway. The only issue she had now was that the pain had actually grown since she left her house, as if the sudden movements had angered it in some way. She tried to ignore it, grinding her teeth together as she continued, desperately hoping for the ibuprofen to kick in. But by this point, it was already getting too much. This pain, combined with the setting sun ahead, was making it difficult for her to focus. And so she pulled the car over beside a large metal fence that guarded a field of cows. She flicked on the car light and turned off the music, now with nothing but the gentle hum of the car's engine that still rumbled beneath her. She opened her mouth wide to stretch out her face as she studied it in the mirror. By now, it felt as though she was being chewed at from the inside. Here she could see that in the middle of the red spot, a white head had appeared. Her eyes filled with tears as she placed her fingers against it on either side, ready to squeeze at it, hoping that this would at least alleviate some of the pressure. She growled through gritted teeth as she squeezed, causing a little burst of pus to plop out onto her face. She let out a sigh as she let go, but it turned out that this hadn't done much but anger it further. Although, at least she had done something. She wiped the pus off of her face with her finger and looked down at it in disgust. However, she now saw something in it that didn't seem right. Something dark. She rubbed her thumb over it, revealing a small but thick black spider resting dead amongst the white ooze. This shocked and horrified her. But before she could even react, she could feel something else crawling across her face. In a panic, she hit at it, accidentally smacking against the red spot on her face, causing it to throb more than it ever had before. She gritted her teeth and winced once again. But then, she saw what it was she had just knocked. Another little spider, now clinging onto the steering wheel in front of her. Before she could even think about what was happening, she could feel another on her face, followed by another and another. She looked up at the mirror, just in time to see the now disturbed red spot finally burst open on her face, releasing dozens of little, thick, black spiders erupting from her skin, smacking at her face whilst shaking her head. But this did nothing but anger the ones that clung on, causing them to bite her all over. She began to fling her arms and kick her legs, desperately trying to get at the car door handle, although it was as if she was instantly losing her mobility, resulting in little more than frantic thrashes inside, causing her to slam down against the accelerator, shooting the car forward, slamming hard against the thick metal bars of the fence. The following day, just after sunrise, an elderly man was taking his dog for a walk, a part of his morning routine. This was a route he took regularly, and by now, he knew what to expect at every corner. However, today something had caught him off guard. He would hold his dog tightly on her lead as she slowly approached Rhea's car that sat quietly against the now bent metal fence. Up ahead, several cows had drawn closer, trying to get a better look at this new phenomenon in their field. The engine was now off, and the battery dead. The windows were sealed and the door shut, like a metallic cocoon in the middle of the countryside. The man stepped forward, trying to peer inside from the back. It seemed to be full of fog, with a grey mist filling up inside. Although the dog didn't seem bothered by it, which suggested that this mist wasn't a gas or a smoke. He cautiously stepped closer once again, not wanting to be too hasty with his actions until he understood what this mist-like substance truly was. It would only be when he finally stepped to the passenger side window and peered through the glass that he would see Rhea's head resting on the steering wheel. She had several spiders crawling through her hair, with two on her face and many more on her torso. He had no idea if she was dead or alive. He had never seen this type of spider before, and he had no idea what was going on. He stood up straight, contemplating how to get her out, looking back into the grey mist that filled the vehicle. But it was during this thought that he saw all the other spiders within the car with her, crawling across every surface, like a terrarium of horrors. Quickly, it had become clear that this grey substance that spread from window to window was not mist at all. It was cobwebs. Spiders are found on every continent around the world except Antarctica, with around 40,000 different species living among us. Some are far more dangerous than their relatives, with a few of the species even able to leap into the air or grow to the size of dinner plates. They are incredible hunters, cunning fighters, cautious survivors, and if I dare say, remarkable artists. If we were to mix their ability, vastness, and potential danger, it is no wonder why society looks at them almost as monsters that live among us. There are even several urban legends involving spiders out there, with one of the most common being that we eat between 7 to 10 spiders a year whilst sleeping, usually due to a spider inadvertently crawling into our mouths, drawn to our warmth. In reality, though, even when we're asleep, The slight vibrations the human body gives off are enough to let a spider know that we are a potential danger. And if we really think about it, they have millions of years of evolution behind them. If spiders were willingly crawling into predators' mouths, it's safe to say that their evolution would have come to an end long ago. The spider bite, which is also known as the red spot, first appeared on the shores of England back in the 1970s. The story tells of someone who was often a young woman who had fallen asleep whilst sunbathing abroad. It is during this sun-soaked nap that she is said to have been bitten on the cheek by a spider. When she wakes up, she finds it has grown to a large boil on her face. Once home, she immediately seeks medical attention. And as the doctor pierces it, hundreds of tiny spiders erupt on her face, with the event causing the woman to go into shock and eventual insanity. Other iterations tell of a young woman asleep in her bed, whilst a spider crawls across her face, resting on her cheek for a few moments. It is the following day that she asks her mum about a new red spot that has appeared on her face. Her mother confirms it's a spider bite, but instructs her not to scratch it, allowing it time to heal and go away for good. The following day, the red spot has seemingly grown in size, and with this increase in volume is an increase in pain. Her mum tells her to leave it still, suggesting this was part of the process. The day after that, it only gets worse, so her mother finally agrees to take her to a doctor to see if it's infected. However, he is unavailable until the following day. To calm her stress about the whole thing, the young woman pours herself a bath, although whilst inside, the spot on her face suddenly bursts open, releasing hundreds of baby spiders over her body. A similar but slightly different iteration of the legend involves another young woman and bubblegum. It is said that spider eggs were used in a specific brand to add to its chewiness. But after a few years of successful sales, one young woman began to complain of a pain in her jaw. Eventually, she had no choice but to go to the dentist, who finally poked at the swelling in her gums. And you may have guessed by now what they say happens next. It is often the case in these stories that the victim of said eruption is never the same again, adding an extra level of dread and drama to the already horrifying notion. Often, it is that they are driven insane, now constantly believing spiders to be crawling over their bodies or under their skin, a psychological phenomenon based very much on reality. Then there are versions where the victim has a heart attack at the very sight of it, with the shock and fear causing their body to give way completely. Although, in many of the retellings, the story ends before this, with the eruption itself garnering enough cringe-inducing reactions that no epilogue is required. Folklorists over time have classified this tale as very much a woman's story, with the victim almost exclusively being female. Not only that, this is considered to be an urban legend that is often shared by woman to woman. This is considered to be due to the revulsion women stereotypically feel towards bugs and critters, mixing with the horror that comes with the destruction of their beauty, playing on an impulse of fear, in part down to evolution and part down to societal expectations. During these events, not only are dozens of spiders crawling around you, but there would now also be a gaping hole within your face. There's also a significant level of pregnancy fears that have been suggested to go along with this horror. Not only with the violation that comes with being forced to host offspring, but also with the unnerving feeling of something invading your body. An intruder entering what is yours without consent. This is an unsettling and gut-turning reaction that was successfully executed in the Alien franchise, where a spider-like creature forcibly enters a human body, impregnating them with offspring without their knowledge. On another level, the legend plays on our fears of unknown places and the dangers that come with foreign grounds. We know the country that we live in, but who knows what horrors lurk on the shores of foreign land? This story, as we know it today, may have found its footing in the 1970s, but far earlier tales closely relate to it, showing themselves as a somewhat pre-evolution to our current narrative. There is a term amongst folklorists to categorize these kinds of urban legends, ones where a creature enters the human body, and that is bosom serpent, named after Nathaniel Hawthorne's short story, Egotism or the Bosom Serpent, written in 1843. A symbolic tale of a man with a snake living inside of his breast. Strangely, it was only a year before this, in 1842, that another story emerged with connections to our modern tale. This story, titled Die Schwartz Spin, was written by Jeremiah Scotthelph and involves a woman making a pact with the devil, which is sealed with a kiss on her cheek. Later in the story, the devil is cheated by the people of her village. And after this, a black boil appears on her cheek, right where she had received the devil's kiss. Eventually, this boil bursts open, releasing venomous spiders from her face. Although not the same as today's tale, it is simply far too similar to be instantly dismissed as a coincidence. This was a story that had likely morphed and changed over the years, becoming a legend that is based more within the realms of science fiction rather than that of superstition. Spiders will remain as characters in our spooky stories and frightful tales for years, due to their monstrous looks, incredible abilities, and sheer vastness. I don't think that anybody doubts that they are objectively amazing creatures, with remarkable traits and wonders amongst them. But still, with this fear so many of us hold against them, it is no wonder that we misunderstand so much. Spiders are actually very useful within a home, working as a sort of cleanup crew, feeding off any other little critters or pests that may have tried to invade your house. And the only fee you need to pay for this convenience is to leave them alone if you are to ever cross their paths. Many are under the misconception that, at least in seasonal countries, spiders make their way into our houses during September and October. But in reality, they're there all year round, and the only reason we see them more during this period is due to their mating season. This means that the critters we often come across are the males of their species, out on the prowl. There are also tales of spiders lurking under toilet seats, especially in countries like Australia. However, no legitimate medical reports of any spider bite from a toilet seat exist anywhere that I could find. Then, there is also the story that claims that dangerous spiders may have laid eggs inside growing bananas, with fruit companies inadvertently shipping them to new lands. This likely comes from the very real fact that, on rare occasions, spiders can be found amongst shipments of bananas. It is also not unheard of for spiders to lay eggs on banana leaves, or on infrequent occasions, even on the bananas themselves. However, there is not a single spider that would penetrate a banana and lay their eggs inside. This is very much the same when it comes to human skin. There is no reason for a spider to lay their eggs in such a place, nor do they even possess the equipment needed to do such a thing. Spiders are without doubt a threat in certain parts of the world. But almost always, a spider bites a human for no other reason than self-defense, with them always actively trying to avoid interacting with us as much as possible. It may be true that spiders are not using our bodies as hosts to hold their young. But that doesn't mean that nothing else is. I hope you're enjoying this chapter so far, and we will return to it. But first, I wanted to steal you away for a moment. I love what I do, and delving into the history of urban legends and folklore is as fascinating as it is rewarding. I feel fortunate to have thousands of people listening to my research each week. The kind messages I receive are both heartwarming and reassuring. However, it takes a very long time to create each chapter. And no matter how much I enjoy it, doing this for free is not always a possibility, leading to significant gaps between seasons, gaps that I hope to shorten in the future. And this is where your support is needed. Through Patreon, you can subscribe for as little as £3 a month, less than a latte at your local barista. By doing so, you will receive all episodes without any advertisements or breaks. You will also be able to listen to each chapter the Friday before the general public. On top of this, you'll receive a weekly newsletter and discounts on merchandise. We're not just building a community there, but forging a fellowship of folklore enthusiasts. Join our private group chats, where you can share your stories, theories, and discoveries with like-minded individuals captivated by modern myths. Let's discover what you've heard, what you may want to hear, or what you think of any specific legend. Your support on Patreon isn't just a subscription. It's an investment in preserving our urban legend show. Please help us continue our journey, and in return, become part of our team. Not only that, but if you join us today, you'll be entered into a prize draw where I'll be choosing 8 patron names at random before the next season begins. Once contacted, if permission is granted, you will be written into one of our new stories, putting you within the legends we tell. Visit our Patreon page by following the link in our show notes, clicking subscribe, and paying whatever you can afford to give. I look forward to your support as we continue to unravel folklore together. And now, back to the legend. The CDC describes miasis as an infection of fly larvae, usually occurring in more tropical and subtropical locations, with some flies known to drop their eggs on or near a wound or sore, allowing the larvae to hatch and burrow into the skin of their new host. However, it is also possible to occur through accidentally ingesting larvae or a mosquito, or even by receiving a bite from a tick. Miasis is considered worldwide to be the 4th most common travel-associated skin infection. And so, with that in mind, let us begin our skin-crawling journey through these events. In 2017, a woman who wanted to remain anonymous went to her local emergency room in the UK due to painful marks she had on her arm. The doctor checked her out and found that a form of insect had likely bitten her. For this, she was prescribed a set of antibiotics and sent home to recover. However, the woman would return the next day, complaining that the pain had not gotten better, but had in fact grown far worse. The doctor checked over the wounds again, this time a little bit more thoroughly. And as he inspected the ulcerations on her skin, he was horrified to discover that something inside was wiggling. After looking further into what exactly was going on, the doctors would find several fly larvae buried into the woman's skin, resting inside the wounds. This larvae would later turn out to be from the tumbu fly, a species found in the tropics of Africa. Of course, everyone was shocked and horrified by this sight, and with further questioning, it was confirmed that the woman had actually just returned from a trip to the Ivory Coast in West Africa. The doctor first tried to squeeze the larvae out of the woman's arm, but this would not work, eventually leading to a surgery that would finally get them out of her body. And once they were removed, it was noted that the woman's pain had almost instantly disappeared. If this hadn't occurred, the woman's infection would have only gotten worse. However, when the larvae had matured, they would have eventually pushed their own way out of their host's skin, where they would drop to the floor and continue their final stages of development on the ground. The tumbu fly is also known by the name of putsy fly, or the skin maggot, with its scientific name being Cordylobia anthropophaga. The females of this species are known to sometimes lay their eggs on damp clothing or in moist soil. And if a human being was ever unfortunate enough to come into contact with that area, it would be possible for them to burrow inside of your skin, tending to aim for the more fattier, meatier areas of the human body, usually a person's back, buttocks, thighs, or calves. Back in 2013, a similar incident had occurred when Catherine Stewart returned home from a trip to Gambia. She had begun to notice a lesion on her body that was now turning yellow and discolored. Eventually, she tried to squeeze the pus out of it, but was horrified when she instead felt something begin to move inside. She grabbed a pair of tweezers and handed them to her husband, instructing him to pull at it, which he did, until it was revealed. Between the tweezers, they were now looking at a squirming maggot that had been suddenly disturbed from its home. The couple made their way to the hospital to check everything out and to make sure it hadn't caused any serious infection. But instead, they discovered another 14 maggots living inside of her skin. Both of these stories are recent, harrowing cases of the tumbu fly, also known as the screwworm, mango fly, maggot fly, and bot fly. Stories of this critter being found in human skin are cringeworthy and stomach-turning, but not uncommon. On top of this, and unfortunately for us, these are not the only creatures known to use a human body as a host. Ticks are tiny bugs in the arachnid family, found throughout the United States of America. They are similar in design to a spider, with 8 legs. However, these legs are much shorter and their bodies far rounder. They are known to come in several colors, ranging from black to brown to red, with their overall size varying depending on how much blood they have consumed from their host. Astonishingly, they are known to be as small as a pinhead before eating, and growing to the size of an average marble once it has finished its blood-filled meal. A lot of the time, people don't even notice that a tick is currently sucking the blood out of their body, as they usually hide in warm, hairy, out-of-the-way places such as armpits. Unlike the larvae, a tick won't bury its way into your skin. However, its head can become lodged on your skin as they feed on you during their feast, which can last up to 10 days, only falling off once they are too full to cling onto you any longer. These bites themselves are not painful, nor do they tend to be dangerous to their host. That being said, the danger comes from external factors, usually from the diseases that these ticks carry with them, causing all sorts of discomfort and problems within their host. In Central and South America, a creature by the name of Tunga penetrans can be found, also known as a jigger, jigger flea, chigo flea, sand flea, or burrowing flea. These little animals are only 1 millimeter in length and are known to live below dirt and sand in tropical areas. Both the males and females bite humans and animals alike. But only the females of the species burrow beneath the skin's surface. First, they will attach onto your skin with their mouth, before eventually clawing their way into your skin. Once there, they will feed and nurture up to 100 eggs inside of you for around 2 weeks. During this time, she will grow to around 1 centimeter in length. Luckily for them, the host is unlikely to even notice they are there at first, with only the female's backside being visible, only becoming more obvious once she grows in size. Their invasion of your skin can cause itching, swelling, and irritation, even at times causing ulcers or bacterial infections. This infection is known as tungiasis and is known to cause problems with walking or even gangrene and tetanus. Next, we have the human itch mite, also commonly known as scabies. This is a microscopic bug that is one of the few creatures known to actually burrow their way under a host's skin, where they will continue to live. It is the adult females that burrow under the top layer of the skin, where they will live and breed for weeks without any sign of their existence to their host. The way in which these females find their way onto a victim is by skin-to-skin contact with somebody else who is already infested with the critters. On occasions, this can also be by touching dirt that infested livestock had previously come into contact with. They measure at less than 0.5 millimeter and are rarely able to be seen with the naked eye. However, it is possible to see tiny raised tunnels in the skin where the mites are burrowing through the body. Although many refer to the entire infestation as scabies, what scabies actually is the disease eventually caused by these mites, resulting in red, itchy skin. The itching can become severe, with people scratching at their skin so often that they eventually end up cutting themselves open, revealing wounds all over their body. The rashes these mites create are most often found in skin creases or between fingers, and can be diagnosed by this alone if the doctor is confident enough in what they are seeing. Onchocerca volvulus is a type of roundworm that is primarily found within the sub-Saharan parts of Africa. The males measure roughly 0.9 inches in length and are known to be much smaller than females, whose average length has been recorded as long as 27.5 inches. They are often found within streams and rivers, usually finding their way inside of the human body through black fly bites. The juniors of this species use this entrance to get into the human's bloodstream, and from there, they make their way to the subcutaneous tissue. Here, they will spend between 6 to 12 months until they fully mature, where they will eventually mate, giving birth to their eggs inside. As skin-crawling as this may be, it is not just a horrible thought, but also an extremely dangerous event, with the side effects from these worms being far more severe than the others mentioned. They are known to cause what has been labeled onchocerciasis, more commonly known as river blindness. This disease can cause bumps under the skin with severe itching, but not only that, it can also lead to keratitis, which is the inflammation of the cornea. It is not unheard of for these symptoms to worsen, eventually resulting in the parasite's host becoming blind. Horrifyingly, there are reportedly around 187 million people at risk of infection, with approximately 17 to 25 million already infected with the parasitic creature. These are but a few examples of the critters that we must be aware of, ones that want to use us as hosts so that they may continue to live and procreate. They range from the unnerving to the life-changing, but none of them seem to involve spiders. At least, not in the way this legend suggests.
I myself was unfortunate enough to be infested with the human itch mites in my mid-20s.
My skin would itch so much that I would scratch myself violently. This was a time where I was struggling deeply with my mental health. And unfortunately, the itching was misdiagnosed as a result of anxiety. This led to me living with these mites inside of my skin for over 8 months. And I was able to swiftly rid myself of them with a cream. However, to this day, I have numerous scars on my body from the wounds I created. And this, scratching myself when stressed or uncomfortable, had become a habit that I am still trying to fight off to this day. I do not blame the doctor for this misdiagnosis. I was already prone to scratching myself, and I was in and out of the doctor's office with mental health discussions for a good while at the time. It would make sense that this sudden urge to itch myself could be a symptom of my mental health conditions. And to be fair to him, once I returned and told him that I thought that he got it wrong, he looked further into it and discovered the solution. With this in mind, I can see how easy it can be to feel dismissed and how that can make you feel as though you were losing your mind. On my occasion, it turned out to be true. There truly were bugs burrowing their way through my skin all over my body. However, this is not always the case, and the results of this phenomenon are, unfortunately, often a sad sight to see. There are several stories of people claiming to have bugs living inside of them. On occasions, these bugs are even said to have hard shells that crunch when squatted. Victims of this phenomena will claim that they can actively feel them moving around inside of their body at all times. These people will describe seeing the bugs. However, nobody else can. Eventually, they have been known to try and get the bugs out by either sticking tweezers up their nose or by cutting into their skin. When it gets to this point, the case has become very dangerous and troublesome. Sometimes these individuals are not even describing mites or parasitic worms. Instead, they are describing actual bugs crawling around, so large and cumbersome that their feet and bodies can be actively felt from the inside. This phenomenon has been given the name delusory parasitosis, or Ekbom syndrome, described as an unwavering but incorrect belief that the patient's body has been infested with something. This is not as rare as you may think, with some studies suggesting that around 27 in every 100,000 Americans a year have delusions of an infestation. This suggests that around 89,000 people in the USA are currently living with this condition at this very moment. Whilst dealing with this, studies can be done on the individual. Ones that show zero sign of anything living within their bodies. But no matter how many samples are tested, and no matter how thorough the body is studied, how are they to tell the subject that the pain and discomfort that they're feeling is just in their heads? It is a very difficult situation to be in. I was dealing with tiny mites, and after a few months of it, I felt as though I was losing my mind. I couldn't understand what was happening, and at times I found myself daydreaming about just ripping the skin off of my bones. I could only imagine how horrible it must feel to be infested by bugs every waking moment, only to be told that you are hallucinating the entire thing. Ekbom syndrome is a very real condition, and it's a subject that scientists actively try to tread lightly with when diagnosing somebody with it, as that would undoubtedly be extremely unwelcome news to anyone who is suffering. And I can completely understand why that would be felt. With this in mind, I can empathize heavily with those unfortunate enough to experience this for any long period of time. It seems to be the case that several arthropods out there want to use the human body to host their offspring. However, as has been shown, none of these are spiders as the legend suggests. In reality, Out of all of the spiders that exist in this world, only a few of them have a bite strong enough to even pierce human skin. On top of this is the fact that many of those who truly can bite human skin cause little to no serious medical consequences. It is just that the few that can cause damage do so with such force that the very idea of their existence becomes a terrifying monstrosity of nature. Are spiders dangerous? Yes, some are very dangerous. But the fear of them is significantly larger than what they deserve. In fact, a review published in 2016 showed that around 78% of 134 published medical cases of spider bites did not actually meet the necessary criteria of a spider bite to be verified, suggesting that many spider bites are actually being misdiagnosed. As human beings, we tend to find ourselves drawn to the creatures of the world that we recognize, those that also have hair, warm red blood, and big-eyed young. We are naturally drawn to other mammals and project human emotion onto them with ease. This is significantly harder to do when it comes to arthropods of all kinds due to their size, shapes, abilities, and colors. We see a small bug across the room. It is frozen still, waiting for us to go away so it can be safe once more. We are significantly larger, stronger, and smarter. And yet, these little critters are able to create so much disgust and fear in people by their mere presence. Often, we're doing it to ourselves, imagining it cunningly crawling into our ears or biting at our skin, even if the majority of these creatures have no ability or need to do so. We project this notion of monsters onto them, fearful to be too close, but ultimately fascinated by their existence. A spider is a popular animal to appear amongst horror due to the incredible fear they induce into the hearts of the viewer. But really, they are not the ones most of us need to worry about at all. They are the face of bug-like horrors. But, as it turns out, the true horrors are smaller, far more inconspicuous, and are right now actively seeking us out.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.